This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. And welcome to Groundhog Day. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and dictionary.com. Question number one, which of the following is true about the month of February? A, it originally had 31 days in the earliest calendars. B, it was named after the Roman god of purification, Februus. C, it was originally added to the end of a 10-month calendar. D, all of the above are true about the month of February. February, what is the truth anyway? And question number two, why is February the 3rd called the day the music died? Is it A, because it's the day that 45 RPM replaced 33 and a third RPM as the primary recording source? Was it B, because it's the day that Elvis Presley passed away? Is it C, because it's the day that Dick Clark left the American Bandstand TV show? Or is it D, because it's the day that several music stars perished in the same plane crash? Why is February the 3rd the day the music died? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February the 2nd, Groundhog's Day. Well, it was on this very day back in 1809 that German composer, pianist, and conductor Felix Mendelssohn was born. Mendelssohn was known for his piano and violin concertos and his overture to A Midsummer's Night Dream. Mendelssohn's B-Day today, 1809. And it was 22 years ago today, 2002, that Stevie Wonder sang Happy Birthday to Rosa Parks on her 89th birthday at the premiere of the made-for-TV movie Ride to Freedom, The Rosa Parks Story. Stevie Wonder's tribute to Rosa Parks, 2002, today. John Williams' Schindler's List introduces our classical music news. 10 Greatest Film Composers of All Time. 20th of January 2024 by Maddie Shaw Roberts in Classic FM. Star Wars creator George Lucas famously said, "Sound is 50% of the movie-going experience." So many of the great films of the last century would be incomplete without their iconic music. Could you imagine seeing that first dinosaur emerge in Jurassic Park without John Williams' rich, swelling orchestration? or the good, the bad, and the ugly without the backdrop of Marconi's signature spaghetti western sound. Film composers are seeing their work reach increasingly beyond the silver screen and into concert halls. Their music played amongst works from the traditionally classical world, and it's not hard to see why. Let's explore the very best of cinema's musical voices. And here are the top five. Coming in at number five, John Barry. John Barry composed the music for 11 Bond movies, perfecting the Bond sound of brass, jazz, and lush melodies, now one of cinema's most iconic sound worlds. In a career spanning some 50 years, the film music master created beautiful, haunting themes for Dances with Wolves and Out of Africa, which are consistently voted to the top of movie and classical music charts today. Coming in at number four, Howard Shore. Howard Shore's stunning orchestral evocations of Tolkien's Middle Earth have shot him into the ranks of all-time great film composers. His score for The Lord of the Rings, voted the nation's favorite in our Classic FM Movie Music Hall of Fame poll last year, is an epic set of 80 themes, ranging from the chilling and ethereal to the delightfully whimsical. He went on to score the Hobbit trilogy, once again bringing Tolkien's literary fantasy to life with evocative and expressive music that has already endured long past the release of the film. Number three, Ennio Morricone, Italian cinematic giant. Ennio Morricone began in the spaghetti western genre, blending symphonic instruments with new sounds, from bells and harmonicas to the jew's harp, to revolutionize the sound of westerns. He went on to have his biggest success with The Mission and the glorious Gabriel's Oboe, now a modern processional favorite at weddings. It's hard to believe this music master only received his first Academy Award, age 90, for The Hateful Eight. Coming in at number two, Hans Zimmer. German composer Hans Zimmer has gained rock star status with his arena shows, where he packs the stage with a live orchestra, band, and striking soloist. His film scores, ranging from the family-friendly to the futuristic, are anchored in that signature Zimmer blend of orchestral and electronic. From Batman to Interstellar, Zimmer is a composer of incredibly beautiful sound. He has a remarkable ability to capture the emotional depth and drama of a movie with thick textures of ostinato strings, sweeping brass lines, and relentless synthesized percussion. He has innovated film score composition and in many ways has defined this generation of cinematic music. And at number one, John Williams. Regarded as one of the most talented composers of any age, John Williams has set the standard for film music, creating deeper connections between audiences and the cinematic narrative with his sweeping scores and bold, iconic melodies. He writes for heroes and baddies better than anyone, create the most iconic villain theme of them all in Jaws with just two notes, an ominous repeating ostinato. Inspired by the Romantics, Holst, Wagner, and Strauss, the American maestro's love of the orchestra runs deep in his scores. His compositions have transcended the movie theater and are now heard in concert halls worldwide as symphonic scores in their own right. Williams was recently revealed to be the most performed living composer of 2023, and there is no more worthy recipient of the title of number one film composer than this giant of cinema, and of classical music. And in music research and technology, we have this article written by Robert Love, editor-in-chief, AARP, the magazine, December, January 2024, titled, You Must Remember This, How Music Triggers Memories and Offers Surprising Hope. This is published in AARP, the magazine, December, January 2024. Is there a song that takes you back to a place, a time, a love of your life? But why even ask? I already know the answer. Music has this mysterious power to reawaken long-buried memories in our brains. And scientists are coming to believe it can strengthen and even revive the connections between neurons. That's heady stuff indeed. Pun intended. My own musical time machine is Ferry Across the Mersey by Jerry and the Pacemakers. I heard this poignant song played by a cover band at Melanie Roberts' eighth grade graduation party in Long Island, and I was transfixed. Eyes closed now, I can still hear every note, feel the dampness under my suit jacket, and recall with wonder the girls of St. Ignatius Loyola Grammar School, suddenly transformed into young ladies in party dresses and heels. We had been children together, and now we were halfway to adulthood. Magazine staffers have their own stories. Executive editor Stephen Perrine tells me that old country songs like Merle Haggard's Swinging Doors remind him of his dad and uncles. The first few notes of the Pink Panther theme whisk senior editor Claire McIntosh back to a New York afternoon when a street saxophonist broke off his solo to pay musical tribute to her beautiful outfit. Deputy editor Neil Wertheimer recalls the first time at age 13 he heard classic jazz, specifically a mournful ballad by Miles Davis. Wertheimer eventually became a music reviewer and even named his son Davis. And senior writer-editor Nancy Kerr says, We Are Family by Sister Sledge brings her back to her sorority days. And yes, I still sing and dance to it, she says, to my teen's embarrassment. Not all the memories were happy, though. Robin Katzman, who coordinates much of our celebrity coverage, recalled learning of her parents' divorce via the Sonny and Cher song, You Better Sit Down, Kids. And for executive editor George Maines, the upbeat 1996 They Might Be Giants version of New York City took on a darker meaning when it came up on his MP3 player during a jog not long after 9/11. Years later, New York City can still make me tear up, he said. We at the magazine got a glimpse of music's power back in 2020 when we sent journalist John Colapinto to profile Tony Bennett in the story in which the singer's family first revealed that he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. The singer barely spoke to Colapinto, but miraculously came alive and sang when a pianist began to play. When we decided to investigate the science behind that miracle, we put Colapinto on the job. What he discovered, see The Extraordinary World of Music and the Mind on page 48 of this issue, is a burgeoning field of science that is discovering new ways for music to help patients and the rest of us. Some of Colapinto's sources were members of a study on music by the Global Council on Brain Health, a scientific collaborative convened by AARP to advance the science of cognition to help people age well. As part of our nod to music and memory, journalist Rob Tannenbaum was able to get Ringo Starr to open up about his own musically triggered memories. See the Ringo story on page 44 of this issue. But our inquiry goes beyond the pages of this magazine. AARP is blessed with a talented staff who produce pieces for our website, e-newsletters, and social media, as well as virtual lectures and events. Members of all of these teams got into the act, producing dozens of pieces about the impact of music on the lives of people over 50. You'll find a sampling listed on page 59 of this issue, the Music and Memory Project, and links to the whole project at aarp.org/music and memory. We hope the project will get you thinking about the mysterious, miraculous power of music in your own life. Now you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up for you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing. Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Elton John, Bernie Taupin to receive Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Published on January the 30th, 2024 in newsroom.loc.gov. PBS to premiere concert special honor. Elton John and Bernie Taupin. On April the 8th, Elton John and Bernie Taupin, one of the great songwriting duos of all time, will be the 2024 recipients of the Library of Congress's Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Librarian of Congress Carla Hayden announced today. The prize is named for another legendary songwriting team, George and Ira Gershwin, whose papers are held at by the library. John and Taupin will be honored with a tribute concert in Washington, D.C. that will premiere on PBS stations nationwide on April the 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. A once-in-a-lifetime meeting between John, a young piano player, and lyricist Taupin together. In 1967, they have forged a songwriting partnership that continues after more than 50 years. Their process seems simple. Taupin writes lyrics and sends them to John, who goes to work at the piano and creates a song. The results of their enduring partnership have been simply incredible. Elton John and Bernie Taupin have written some of the most memorable songs of our lives. Their careers stand out for the quality and broad appeal of their music and their influence on their fellow artists, Hayden said. More than 50 years ago, they came from across the pond to win over Americans and audiences worldwide with their beautiful songs and rock anthems. We're proud to honor Elton John and Bernie with the Gershwin Prize for their incredible impact on generations of music lovers. Your song, Tiny Dancer. Rocket Man, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the song that introduced this section, are just a few songs they wrote together that became timeless standards, not to mention the fun they had with Benny and the Jets, and Crocodile Rock, which became their first number one single in the U.S. in 1973. I've been writing songs with Bernie for 56 years, and we never thought that one day this might be bestowed upon us, Elton John said. It's an incredible honor for two British guys to be recognized like this. I'm so honored to be in a house along with the great American songwriters. To even be in the same avenue is humbling, and I am absolutely thrilled to accept, Bernie Taupin said. Today, John is among the top-selling solo artists of all time with more than 70 top 40 hits over the course of six decades, including 9 number ones and 29 top tens on the Billboard Hot 100. He has sold more than 300 million records worldwide. John holds the record for the biggest-selling physical single of all time, with Taupin's rewritten lyrics for Candle in the Wind, 1997, which sold over 33 million copies. In 2018, he was named the most successful male soul artist in Billboard Hot 100 chart history. In America, John holds the record for the longest span between Billboard Top 40 hits at 50 years. In 1992, John established the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which continues to be a leader in the global fight against HIV/AIDS. His music and charitable service have been honored with a knighthood from Queen Elizabeth II, the Légion d'Honneur, France's highest award, and the National Humanities Medal in 2022. Since launching his first tour in 1970, John has delivered more than 4,000 performances in more than 80 countries. His work has spanned recording studios, stadiums, stages, and screens, always with music that resonates with new generations of audiences. Disney's The Lion King, carried by John's tunes, continues to be one of Broadway's longest-running shows. In January, John won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Variety Special for his show Elton John Live Farewell Tour from Dodger Stadium, making him just the 19th performer to achieve rare EGOT status. That's E-G-O-T, by the way. Having also won 5 Grammys, 2 Oscars, a Tony Award for the score to the Broadway musical Aida. Soon, John and Taupin will have a Gershwin Prize to add to this mix for an even more exclusive distinction. Previous recipients of this award, by the way, are Paul Simon, Stevie Wonder, Sir Paul McCartney, songwriting duo Burt Bacharach, and the late Hal David, Carole King, Billy Joel, Willie Nelson, Smokey Robinson, Tony Bennett, Emilio and Gloria Estefan, Garth Brooks, Lionel Richie, and Joni Mitchell. Established in 2007, the prize honors living musical artists whose contributions in the field of popular song exemplify the standard of excellence associated with George and Ira Gershwin. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is true about the month of February? A, it originally had 31 days in the earliest calendars. B, it was named after the Roman god of purification, Februus. C, it was originally added to the end of a 10-month calendar. Or D, all of the above are true about the month of February. Correct answer, answer C, it began at the end of a calendar. As noted in a 131.22dictionary.com article, the original Roman calendar only had 10 months. In the 700s BCE, the second king of Rome, Pompilius, changed that, adding January and February to the end of the calendar. The two new months were both originally 28 days long. At that time, March 1st became New Year's Day, but in 153 BCE, the beginnings of the year was moved to January the 1st. Also, since other months like January are named after Roman gods, you'd be forgiven for thinking February was named after the Roman god Februus. But the word February comes from the Roman festival of purification called Februa, at which people were ritually washed. In this case, the god and the month were named after the festival, not the other way around. Also, before we adopted the Latin name for our second month, Old English used more vibrant names to describe the month, now known as February. The most common Old English name was Solmonth, which literally means mud month. A lesser used term was kale monath, which meant cabbage month. And the answer to our second question, why is February 3rd called the day the music died? Is it A, because it's the day that 45 RPM replaced 33 and a third RPM as the primary recording? Is it B, because it's the day that Elvis Presley passed away? Is it C, because it's the day that Dick Clark left the American Bandstand TV show? Or is it D, because it's the day several music stars perished in the same plane crash? And the correct answer is answer D, the plane crash deaths. As noted in OnThisDay.com, it was back in 1959 today that Buddy Holly, age 22, Ritchie Valens, 17, the Big Bopper, 28, and pilot Roger Peterson died in a plane crash in Iowa. The day the music died was dubbed so by Don McLean's song, American Pie. Buddy Holly's band was on tour and had played at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa. They were headed to their next destination in Moorhead, Minnesota. For this leg of their journey, they decided to take a charter plane rather than go with their tour bus. Richardson, the Big Bopper, had swapped places with Waylon Jennings, taking the latter's place on the plane, and Tommy Alsop had lost his place to Ritchie Valens in a coin toss. Giles Perry, J.P. Richardson, Jr., better known by his stage name, the Big Bopper, was an American musician and disc jockey whose best-known compositions include Chantilly Lace, Running Bear, and White Lightning, the latter of which became George Jones's first number one hit in 1959. So, let's close out today's program with Chantilly Lace by the Big Bopper, who in 1959, with Ritchie Valens and Buddy Holly, died in that plane crash on the day the music died.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet thing. Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, phone 919-779-1755. So long until next time.
What's that, honey? Pick you up at 8. And don't be late. But, baby...